Hi, welcome to the One-to-One Thing podcast. My name is Steve Wright, a seasoned IT manager and personal development coach, unpacking what it takes to have a meaningful one-to-one conversation at work, home, and in our head. We all live lives full of conversations that range from awkward to impossible. Join me as we learn to navigate the one-to-one thing. Hi, Kirk Ashley. This is probably one of my most exciting interviews of the year. Well, off the time I've been interviewing people, actually, because I'm so fired up to reconnect with a dear, dear friend of decades. How are you doing, Ashley?
Kirk. it's Steve, I'm awesome. And it's what a joy. I mean, we were talking earlier today that I think it's been like 25 years since we've been in the same room together. I think we've connected a few times through conversation, but I love technology. We're on different sides of the planet and here we are reconnecting. I love it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, the American accent doesn't belie where you are. You're actually in Australia. You're literally the other side of the planet right now.
Yes, I'm a Queenslander with a bad accent. I've been here 25 years. It's funny, I got here because somebody saw me when I used to work with Tony Robbins and asked me to come save their business, and then they left me stranded here. And so I was homeless in two countries at the same time because I couldn't even fly home back to LA to be homeless. And so I just decided to do what I teach. And I've been here 25 years since then, and it's been a rocket ride, to say the least. You know, gold medals at the Olympics and all the rest of those things that I've done.
Wow, wow. Well, this is going to be great. Just for the audience that are watching this, the managers who lead, just give us an insight in terms of your journey. You've got a spectacular journey, I know, and I'm blessed to be part of that as we sort of cross paths through the Tony Robbins programs and organization, and we got stories and anecdotes from that. So we'll keep those to another time. But tell us a little bit about your journey and where you are now.
Steve, I used to be an actor. I started when I was 12 years old. I lied about my age and got on stage at Second City in Chicago. Worked with Jim Belushi, George Wendt from Cheers, and then when I was 18 years old, I left for L.A. Thought I was going to get discovered any moment because I showed up with like $200 in my pocket. Took me 3 years to get my first acting job, which was Two of a Kind with John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John. And then wound up doing 38 movies, worked on over 500 movies behind the camera as a key and dolly grip. I was an assistant for a director for 13 years and did stunts on the original Dukes of Hazzard TV show. And it's funny things when you tell people that, they go, I used to love that show as a kid. I'm like, yeah, thanks for saying that. And then in 1989, I was doing a movie with Chuck Norris called Delta Force 2, and I was involved in a helicopter wreck where five guys died. My best friend died in my arms. He was 29 years old, and my life went into a tailspin from that. And, you know, I started really getting back into the personal development because I had to turn my own life around. And now it's really what I do, and I've been here in Australia for 25 years, like I said earlier. And the funny thing is I was doing some free programs to try to sell people into a paid program to make enough money to leave Australia. And at one of those free programs, for some weird reason, I said, who here remembers the person who stood on the third box at the Olympics? Everybody rush out to buy your book thinking, oh, gee, how'd you get third? And this woman stands up and she says, I was on the third box at the Olympics. And I looked at her and I said, wow, you're a big girl, too, I can see. And she said, the reason I'm pissed off is everything you said today was true. She said, will you take me to Sydney and help me win the gold medals? And for the next 2.5 years, I worked at the women's Australian beach volleyball team. And we won gold medals at the Sydney Olympics and beat the best team in the world, the Brazilians. And by then, I had fallen in love with the country and been here ever since. And I love living in Australia. It's awesome.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a whistle stop tour in terms of what you do. Tell us a bit more about the programs. It'd be interesting to see what are the essential elements. And I know you have a book. You mentioned a quote from the poster behind you.
Yes, that's the, well, you can see the book also behind me. It's called How Would Love Respond? I'm proud to say it's been a bestseller for about 11 years now. The funny part, Steve, is my dad, when I got a publisher and an agent, you know, I'm my dad's only child. My mom had 7 kids. She was a little more friendly. My dad, he cried when I got a publisher and an agent. My stepmom called me and told me my dad was very emotional. So I called my dad up and I said, "Hey, Dad, I heard you're emotional." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why?" And he goes, "I didn't think you could read, let alone write." So, and he wasn't being mean to me. My dad, I barely graduated high school. To me, it was just a social event, you know. So, I mean, if I got a D, I was happy as long as I was passing. I just wanted to get out of there. But I wanted to complete it, I guess. You know, I didn't want to be a dropout. And so with my programs, what I do is I teach people how to create real lasting change. So I work with companies around the world, all the way from Seagate and Apple to mom and pop businesses. There's an organic supermarket here that's the size of a full-on supermarket, but the entire store is organic. When I first met them, they were hippie fruit shack, and within about 6 months, I took them to $22 million a year with a 14% profit. So it's tactical. It's very specific. Every sports team, every athlete I work with, they've all won. The people ask me, how do I do it? I say, I cheat. I choose winners. And those are people who are willing to do what average people aren't willing to do. Not dramatically different, just a little bit. I mean, if you think about the Olympics, that's the difference between first and fourth. First place touches the wall, 1/1000th of a second later, the fourth place person is touching the wall in the pool. So that person was just willing to do a little bit more than the rest of the field was willing to do, but it produces results that are dynamic. So my job is not really to teach content. My job is to help facilitate real lasting change. And, you know, the results that I've produced with companies around the world. I mean, I even coached, check this one out, the top 5 executives at Kuwaiti Petroleum in Kuwait, where they employ 97% of the entire population of Kuwait. And they flew me out numerous times to work with them. And it was awesome. I mean, what an experience. And how they found me, I'm still a little perplexed on. But the big boss of the whole company, the first time he met me, brought me in his office and he said, I'd like some strategies how I can get my grandson to take a bath. I said, I'm sorry, what? And he goes, I know how to run business, but it's a nightmare trying to get my grandson to take a bath every night. So I gave him some strategies. He calls me in his office the next day and he said, oh my God, it worked like a charm. He ran to the bathtub. He goes, you're worth every cent. I go, I don't know if he had to really fly me to Kuwait for this, but thanks, you know, it's cool.
And you know, as kind of heartwarming as that story is, it really does come down to some of those areas in our lives where we're seen to have it all together, and then there's an area that is perplexing us, or you know, we're falling short, and you know, like you said, it's degree, it's fractions of a degree between, you know, between first and fourth. And that can apply to lots of aspects in terms of what we do. Not just in terms of competing, or competing with others, but also competing with ourselves. And I think, absolutely. You know.
Well, Steve, because as you know, I mean, you know, we all go through the same garbage. We all go through the same stuff. Everybody had to deal with COVID. Everybody had to deal with the global financial crisis in 2008. Matter of fact, it was so cool, we called it the GFC. We had to give it an acronym. More people have died from KFC than the GFC, but you don't see people freaking out over the kernel. So the key distinction between successful people, now I'm talking holistically successful in all areas of your life, because really what's the point of being rich if you're sick, or wealthy if you're lonely? The key distinction is that successful people, we learn how to manage how we think and feel differently. First, differently than the masses, and then differently than we used to ourselves. Because the formula really to create anything you want would be is have the right mindset, develop some new skill sets, and then follow through on that. And you think about it, what can't you achieve if you have the correct mindset, which, by the way, is a skill set, and then, you know, develop new skill sets. So years ago, I got ripped off for somebody building a website of mine. Cost me $140,000 for a website, and it never worked, right? Well, I realized if I don't get educated, this is going to keep happening. right? So I learned how to build websites. That's not what I do. But now when I go to order a website, I know what I'm ordering. I built one myself for CurecAshley.com back in the day. So, you know, I got educated at it. And so how do we do the skill, the mindset, skill set? Well, that would be through education, application of the education, and then follow through on that. You'll notice that, and both of those, follow through is the key, because most people quit just before they're about to succeed. And there's that little gap again.
I saw that quote on your post next to Sly Stallone there. Little plug.
Yeah, well, he's kind of, that's a picture of me in his house watching the Super Bowl. I've known Sly since I was 18 years old. My mentor, my Mr. Miyagi, his name's John Hirschfeld. He's a award-winning writer and director in Hollywood, and he was Sly's roommate at the University of Miami. So they've been best of friends for almost 60 years now. And John raised me since I was 18 years old. He forced me to read Think and Grow Rich in 1980 and Norman Vincent Peale's books and Siddhartha by Herman Hesse. And he literally would call me up in the studios, "What page are you on?" and scream at me if I wasn't doing my reading that day. And so I met Sly through him, and Sly's always been a great friend and a great mentor. And just recently when I was watching the Super Bowl with him, I thanked him for everything he did for me. And he said, "Kirk, if it wasn't me, you would have found who you needed. That was just you. I mean, you were like this driving force. You never held us back. Matter of fact, you inspired us, because you came up with these harebrained, crazy ideas. But man, you would not stop until you hit a brick wall, and then you just bounce off it. But once you found your frequency to success, man, did you take the ball and run with it." Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Sly's a guy just like everybody else. I mean, you know, if you watch his story, it is the Rocky story. I mean, it's an embodiment of the movie, but anybody that we read their biographies, autobiographies, or success stories, it's always somebody who pulled themselves up from the bottom, or the hard place, or that challenging place in their life. Nobody really wants to hear about the rich guy who just stayed rich, or the thin guy who just stayed thin. We want to hear about the person who faced the trials and tribulations and did something dynamic with their life.
Yeah, that's powerful. I like what your mentor said about if it wasn't him, it would have been somebody else, because it's you. And that is a great turnaround, because sometimes it speaks to agency. It speaks to us being involved in our in the outcomes that we want, as opposed to looking for someone else to provide the outcomes that we want, which seems actually backwards when you think about it.
That's spot on. And, you know, most people, they want to look at the problem. You know, I got to tell you about the problem, or I got to find out what caused this. Actually, you don't. Everything I teach is based on the laws of physics. The first law would be cause and effect, that every result is a byproduct of an action or a series of actions. So there's another law called the law of displacement that says two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So if we're focusing on the problem, well, we're going to wind up with a big problem. But if you just focus on the outcomes that you want, you'll produce the outcomes. You don't even have to know what the problem was. By the way, we already know it. You can say it in about 2 seconds. Got it. Now, what outcome do you want to do with it? So that's always the first question when I'm coaching my clients is, what do you want to do with it? You know, they can tell me whatever it is. You know, I was raped. I was abused. My husband, my partner, my bought, somebody ripped me off, whatever it is. Great. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to be a victim to it, or do you want to be a victor from what you do with this? And they go, "Victor sounds way better." Great. And don't tell the story anymore. They go, "Well, I go, no, I'm telling you the strategy is don't tell the story anymore, because the story creates drama glue. It keeps you stuck in the story, and then keeps the rest of us stuck listening to it, which I don't want to do it. Every time you tell it, you relive the experience. That's not a positive thing. Start telling the empowering stories about where you're going in life and the results you're going to produce, because then you'll start moving towards that, because you're giving energy to it. So don't tell the story anymore to anyone, not even yourself, because it's not the truth. Yes, it is. No, it's an edited interpretation of what you think happened. But by the way, if you talk to other people, like people tell about their terrible childhood, right? Then you talk to other siblings and they go, "We had a great childhood. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, why are they so angry?" So or of a traffic accident. Five people see a traffic accident. They get five different interpretations of the same traffic accident when the police are asking about it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an edited interpretation. So only tell the stories, the empowering stories about where you're going and the outcomes you're going to achieve.
Yeah, that's powerful. I love that. I love that drama glue. I just had an image of drama gum. You're walking down the street and you're stepping gum and it's like you can't get it off your shoe and it just stays around and is annoying rather than doing anything else. So yeah, that's powerful. And like you said, it's not a Pollyanna position in terms of you ignore what is challenging to overcome. It's really, like you said, that the art of displacement, which is really where the power is. So that's awesome.
Yes. If somebody just describes the problem unemotionally, unattached, just saying, okay, this is my issue. I would like to do this with it. That's all the energy you have to give to it so that we go, yes, I got what the problem is. Now let's start working towards the outcome that you want to achieve from this. And then you see our problems become our greatest gifts because they forced us into evolution. They force us into reinventing ourselves. Then you look back and you go, like the helicopter crash used to be the worst thing ever, you know, lose five friends and the horrors that I saw, you know, Mike was on fire when I carried him out, fully engulfed. So, you know, and he died in my arms on the way to the hospital, give him CPR. So for 2.5 years, I had a gun in my mouth every night. I had drugs up my nose. I was smoking dope, cigarettes, booze. I wasn't partying, Steve. I was just trying to kill myself. Thank God I'm not a success at everything in life. But one day I woke up and I realized that your life's not your own. You know, there's people who look up to you that they're not pulling you up. You're dragging them down because negative energy is a heavier, denser energy than positive energy is. So 15 scoops of sugar in your tea, you got sweet tea, one drop of poison, you're dead. So I realized that this can't be my legacy. So I cut a line in the sand in my backyard in California and said, once I step over this, I'm done. And you got to get to that place. I'm done. I'm done being fat. I'm done being broke. I'm done being lonely. I'm done being depressed. I'm done. Because if we don't say that, then we're complacent and we're accepting it. And I stepped over that line. I gave up cocaine. I gave up alcohol abuse. I gave up cigarettes. I gave all my guns away, not to just people wandering down the street. I gave them away to gun collector friends of mine and changed my life. Well, now I look at that same experience as the most transformational. Because it turned me into who I was. I had to, you know, so it's our challenges that bring our life value as long as we change it. But it's all a perception because there really is no truth. There's only an interpretation. And the perception can be stronger than the truth. Mm. You know, so I go, choose a perception that empowers you, not one that disempowers you.
Mm. I love what you said about negative energy being denser than positive. And you know, I've spoken to people recently, actually, with a couple of few guests that have really sort of tapped into, and you mentioned the term vibration as well, into vibration, frequency, energy. And those are interesting terms because as a sort of a lifelong engineer and a bit of a scientist, they don't always sort of fit well into a business organizational structure or even that sort of vocabulary in a business, but it really does speak to who we are as beings and how we connect. You know, there is definitely an energy level, and we speak to that in terms of being high energy or low energy, and sort of a vibrational aspect in terms of resonating with people. So we do use those terms, but not realizing just how important they are to.
Well, physics is. It's energy. I mean, there's an atom, you know, and an atom, there's nothing except for a quark, a vibration. So there's the law of vibration. There's the law of frequency of vibration. And then there's the law of harmony of frequency of vibration, which is also be known as the law of attraction, right? So tune your radio in to a certain station, you receive whatever's on that frequency. They even give you the frequency number, you know, 102.7 is Kiss FM in Los Angeles, right? So everything, by the way, your mobile phone number is the frequency of your unit, you know, that SIM card, so that when somebody calls you, it comes in on your specific frequency. Well, universe, one vibration, the one frequency, the master frequency of everything, everything in it's a sub frequency. And so whatever frequency you're on, we're going to see what's on that frequency. This is just physics. It's not woo-woo. It's not fluffy stuff. It's just the science of it. So yes, business is, because people don't buy your products, your services, your ideas. They buy the way they feel about your product, service, idea. Why do people sleep on the sidewalk to get the first iPhone? They're there for 2 days, so they can get the 2 weeks later, you get one anywhere you want. Because Apple makes you feel special if you get the first one. And they're texting, they're on social media. I'm getting the first iPhone. They're texting on a phone they haven't even paid for yet. They haven't even finished paying for it. They're still making payments to get the newer model that I don't even know what it does differently. Of course, we've been sold it does all kinds of different stuff. But, you get it, about 2 days later, it's just like my last phone. You know, ooh, the case is different. But beyond that, it's the same thing. But it's a feeling that we're buying because, by the way, there's less expensive smartphones that do all the things that a Samsung or Apple does, but people don't want them. Why doesn't make me feel special to have the off-brand? So that's what people are buying. So it is a frequency. It is a feeling. It is a vibration.
Yeah. That's, and again, that's powerful. I mean, it speaks to just what we want to do how we show up in order to get that the outcome of I guess the outcome we're after is a feeling, like you said. It's really, it comes down to how we want to feel and how we want to operate in the world with other energies around us and vibrating at those energies. And again, it sounds kind of all over the place, but it really does speak to how we want to show up and being authentic and being true to yourself, because the last thing you want to do is actually pretend to be some other, like you said, if you're trying to emit the wrong frequency because you think that's where you ought to be, and that's not really going to be you're not going to be congruent with yourself with that.
Absolutely. And Steve, one of the things I just remind myself of regularly is whatever you're filled with is what you're going to spread to everybody else around you. You know, so if you fill yourself with happiness and joy and abundance and honesty and integrity, you'll be spreading that all around you. If you're filled up with pissed off and negative and down and naysayer and all the rest of stuff, that's what we spread. And so, you know, it's about taking responsibility. Now, if you look at the word, because I love language because there's power in words. I'm not religious, by the way. My mom was Jewish. My dad was Christian. I was just confused. The Bible says, in the beginning is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And I always thought, the Word was God? I'm thinking, we're going to be God as the Word? The Word was God. Well, when I figured out what that meant is that God being the creator, the words create our experience. So the words you use create our experience. So if you look at responsibility, there's power in that word, because responsibility, the ability to choose how you respond. And when you choose another respond, which means to act, you're always going to produce a new result. So you start taking responsibility, going, man, instead of blaming everybody else and the government and the president and this and that, it's everybody else's fault, is take responsibility for making the world a better place by making your world a better place, because then it's just natural that you start operating differently. And so that's why I always work on myself first. My first flip chart I always put up at all my workshops is, in order for things to change, I must change first. The world's not going to come find you and drop riches in your lap. That's not the way it works. You have to get yourself in that position or in that frequency, here we go again, to receive the rewards that you want, to receive the happiness that you want. But we all have it. There's somebody walks in a room and they're pissed off or angry, and people go, oh, God, stay away from them. See, you're picking up their vibe. We even say that. Or they get too close to you and you're like, hey, man, you're in my space. They're not touching you, but they're in that frequency, egg-shaped energy ball we have around us. You know, when somebody gets too close to it, you feel it. And by the way, that's why we hug, why we do handshakes, because we're literally bonding our energies together to create a closeness. That's where that comes from in those days. And it still does. And that's why I hug people and I go, I'm a hugger, deal with it. And I had somebody tell me from high school, they go, yeah, no, you used to say in high school, I'm a hugger, deal with it. And I go, yeah, I still use that one. because I want to connect with people and break that bond so that you can influence people to have a better day. And it's amazing, you know, like during COVID, walking to a local grocery store and just asking somebody how their day was, the girl behind the deli counter burst into tears. She was, "You're the first person who even asked something nice to me. People have been so rude and so rough." I said, "Ma'am, I'm grateful that you're working so I can get groceries." You know, well, now every time I go in there, "Hey, Keurig, how you doing?" See, connection. And by the way, business is building and nurturing relationships, you know, and people forget that in business. You get on LinkedIn in 2 seconds, you know, you get a connection in 2 seconds. Somebody's trying to sell you something, you know. There's no relationship built. There's no connection built. And so it's always about building and nurturing relationships.
That's powerful. And I wanted to ask the question you talked about, the energy and connection. What brings you joy? What brings you joy in your life now?
Well, I have a great friend who lives in the northern part of England, of the UK, named Steve, who I reconnected with today. He's brought me tons of joy.
I have a plug.
No, you know, see, we as soon as we reconnected, man, it's like 25 years never passed. My son, I have a 12-year-old. It took me 50 years to get ready to have kids. My mom was dying of cancer and made me promise to have kids. Literally, that was her last words. And I promised. And my mom knew what she was doing because she knew if I made a promise, I'd keep it. And 2 weeks later, I got my wife pregnant, one try, and that's my amazing son. To watch, you know, him grow, to spend time with him, because kids spell love, T-I-M-E. They want your time. They don't care who you are. They don't care what your career is. They don't care how much money you make. They want your time. And so I built my business and my life to spend a lot of quality time with my son, present time. By the way, watching TV with each other, that's not spending time together. You know, being present with him. So if he comes in and he wants to talk to me, I put all my focus on him. And he said, "Dad, you're the most present guy in the universe, man. Like, you could remember everything I said to you." And I go, "Yeah, that's right. Because you're the most valuable thing in my life." So, you know, I live on a farm on the Sunshine Coast of Australia. I have 14 acres here, and I have unbelievable views. I have my own lake, cockatoos, kangaroos, koalas. You know, I mean, I live in awe, and I live in appreciation. So, Steve, every day I wake up, I'm born, and every night when I go to sleep, I die. So my whole life is in this day. So when you act that way, you live in awe and wonder because it's your first day, and you live in gratitude and appreciation because it's your last. And I walk around that way. So everything brings me joy because it's all about the moments and appreciating having gratitude for the moments, because there's a lot of people our age who today was their last day and they weren't planning on dying today either. So since the helicopter crash, to me, every day is borrowed time. I got lucked out because out of 8 guys in the chopper, only a couple of us made it when 5 guys died. And it could have been me. I mean, I was 27. Mike was 29 when he died in my arms. And so I'm just grateful and appreciative.
Thank you for that, Keurig, because I'm going to pause and just let that sink in, because it's so profound. Spelling love, T-I-M-E, is precious. It's been a real pleasure. It's been a real, real pleasure forging this connection again. And we can't hug because we're on Zoom, but there's definitely resonance coming through here that I really appreciate you, bro.
Love you too, man. That never changed. Time or mileage hasn't changed that, Steve. And you're one of the most amazing guys ever. And, you know, the love and the joy and the strategies and everything you're doing out there. Before the call, we talked about this, is you have so much to offer. And I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing, because the world needs you. And any day that you're not doing it, there's people slipping through the cracks that you were supposed to help, and you're not. You're helping them. And that's awesome.
That's powerful. And I do feel, it's interesting that analogy of slipping through the cracks. There is definitely a call out there to men generally, to people in positions of authority or leadership, or in that have an impression on others. whether that's in your organization that you own as a founder, an organization that you serve, a community that you serve, a family that you are the influencer in, or you have an influence in, all of those areas are opportunities to lift up. And every day we don't, every day we miss that and let people slip through the cracks. Like you said, your story about, you know, sort of, you know, having a weapon to your head. And I can see how it's so easy to get there. And we need to be mindful and have our antenna up. Have our antenna up to tune into what's going on around us and serve where we can. So, Kurok, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. How do people get hold of you and what you? I mean, you're a phenomenon. But what's the best way to connect with you?
Well, Steve, I'm a legend in my own mind. But
that perception again.
KurokAshley.com is my website. If you want to write me, I always write people back. I don't have psychic powers where I go, somebody needs help, so I write them first. So it's Kurok@KurokAshley.com. I really do write people back. I get it all the time. People, I can't believe you really write somebody back. You took the time to write. I take time to write back. I'm obviously on all the socials and the rest of those things. But, if you need help, I'm here. Money is not what drives me. It's, my driving force is I love people. And I love watching people, the inner child come back alive in them, where all of a sudden they're excited about their lives, they're creating their goals and dreams, they're just enjoying it all at a higher level, because the purpose of our life is to enjoy it. Not any more complicated than that. If you enjoy it, at the end of it, you'll look back and you go, this was awesome. If not, you'll go, what was I thinking? You know, I let all this stuff get in my way and I was pissed off about all this stuff that has no value. Just enjoy it and find a way to enjoy it at the highest levels. And, you know, everything I believe the Creator put on the planet so we could enjoy it. Otherwise, the Creator would be a cruel tyrant, that you'd have all these amazing experiences you can have. And by the way, God's in Ferrari, just like he's in Daewoo, you know. But I don't know if Daewoo makes me feel good about myself. I'm not really a Ferrari guy either. But my point being is, if you are a Ferrari person, then go get a Ferrari, because when you're dead, there's no Ferraris. You know, whatever it is that brings you joy, and just remember, it's all borrowed. You got to give it all back. So you might as well borrow the good stuff.
That's great. And I hope people listening to this can borrow the good stuff from this discussion, because there are some nuggets in there. Again, Kurok, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. For people listening in, I hope you enjoyed that. Managers Who Lead, give us a thumbs up, a like, a comment. We'll get hold of Kurok within the group as well. I'll get him invited, and you can share and reach out to him then. But I'll have his link in the comments below as well. But thanks again, bro. I love you to death, man.
Yeah, love you too, man.
Great stuff. Thanks for joining me today. Please subscribe and leave a review. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. My details and links are in the show notes.